The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and welcome to Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from health.usnews.com, which is a pretty lengthy article, and some stuff from Food Network magazine. Healthy eating patterns around the world. One question I often get asked in interviews about the Mediterranean diet or any of the other traditional diet pyramids old ways developed, Asian, Latin American, African heritage, is how can you put Greek food and Moroccan dishes under the same Mediterranean diet pyramid? Or Japanese cuisine is so very different from the food in India, why is there only one Asian diet pyramid? The answer is very simple and very timely. Considering global concerns about climate change and the impact of food production has on greenhouse gas emissions. As I wrote previously in U.S. News and World Report, food production is responsible for 83% of U.S. household greenhouse gas emissions, much of that from the production of red meat. Here's why China, Ghana, Mexico, and Italy have more in common than you might think. They all share the following characteristics: focus on plant foods, eating together and other positive lifestyle attributes, and cultural relevance. Plant-based cultural models for healthy eating. Traditional diets around the world are plant-based cultural models for healthy eating. The eating pattern in China is not unlike the one in Mexico or Ghana or Greece. Each meal is based on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, tubers, nuts and seeds, healthy plant oils, and herbs and spices. Fish, seafood, and animal foods are smaller additions. You need only look at the base of each of Old Ways Heritage Pyramids, Mediterranean, Asian, Latin American, African heritage, to see the similarities. A lush variety of plant foods that dominate these cultural models for healthy eating. A closer look also reveals that many of these plant foods are not the same. These similarities and differences make what's on the plate both universal and unique. The differences lie in the what. The actual fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, tubers, nuts and seeds, herbs and spices used, as well as in the how, that's the preparations. Animal foods are consumed less often and in smaller quantities. This is in line with the 2019 EAT Lancet report's recommendation to consume 50% less red meat and sugar for human health and health of the planet. Food similarities around the world. Real-world examples from around the globe drive home the similarities in the food and how they are prepared. Take, for example, these three universal dishes: porridge, rice and beans, and flatbreads. Many cultures have preparations for porridge and rice and beans that make use of the foods that are indigenous to particular locations. It's the same with flatbreads, which often feature local produce, whole grains, and herbs and spices. Porridge. Porridge is an easy dish to make. Basically, porridge is a grain, preferably a whole grain, boiled and simmered in a liquid such as milk, water, or stock. Most familiar to Americans is oatmeal, a porridge made with oats. Other whole grains are commonly transformed into this ultimate comfort food in other countries. They can be savory or sweet and can feature many toppings and spices. In Asia, for example, congee is a traditional breakfast food that's also perfect for a main or side dish. Congee is made by boiling rice in water and letting it simmer. The difference from making rice is the amount of liquid. For congee, it's 3 or 4-fold the amount used to make rice. The resulting porridge can be flavored with different toppings like vegetables, seafood, or egg, and a variety of herbs and spices, depending upon the region. Adding a protein or vegetables turns congee into a main dish. Sound like Italian risotto? Yes, congee and risotto have much in common. Rice, liquid, thyme, although not as much stirring is required with congee as it is with risotto, and anything can be added to both. Beyond rice is a world of whole grains waiting to become a porridge. Similar to Italian polenta, grits are a southern U.S. version of porridge made by boiling cornmeal and flavoring with cheese, butter, and milk. In the south, cooks add all sorts of flavors and food to grits, including seafood. Although grits are known as a southern dish, a version of mashed corn was a common food of indigenous peoples in the U.S., as corn was a dominant crop in North America. Other global porridges include Hawaiian poi, upma, an Indian and Sri Lankan dish, Ethiopian genfo, kasha in Russia and Eastern Europe, Peruvian quinoa porridge, lock, a millet porridge in West Africa. In South Africa, there's pap, which is made with ground maize, and millet porridge in China. Rice and beans. A second example of the similarities among different cultural models for healthy eating is another comfort food, rice and beans. Cultures around the world enjoy rice and beans as standard fare. Pasta fagioli or minestrone in the Mediterranean, dal with rice in India, jollof rice with black-eyed peas in West Africa, black beans and rice in Brazil, brown rice and red beans in the Caribbean, Chinese rice with mung beans in China, hop and john, black-eyed peas and rice in the Carolinas and other southern states. The combinations are endless. The combination of rice and beans is also incredibly healthy. The beans provide plant-based protein, which we need more of as we try to reach the EAT Lancet 2050 sustainability goals. Beans are also packed with fiber, a nutrient that most Americans don't get enough of. Fiber acts as a prebiotic, meaning that it feeds the friendly bacteria in our gut that keep us healthy and prevent disease, explains Kelly Toops, a registered dietitian and the director of nutrition at Old Ways. Fiber also keeps us full to prevent overeating, helps regulate our digestive system, and can reduce our blood sugar response to a meal. Further, beans have a number of antioxidants that protect cells from damage. Add brown rice, and it's even healthier. Flatbreads. Flatbreads also point to the similarities in traditional diets around the world. In their book, Flatbreads and Flavors, Naomi Duguid and Jeffrey Alford write that flatbreads are the world's oldest breads. The tradition of making flatbreads has developed simultaneously almost everywhere there is a perennial supply of grain. Flatbreads are simple and straightforward to prepare and eat. They are nourishing, and they make efficient use of locally available food resources. At Old Ways, we were so taken with the concept of flatbreads that we asked Naomi and Jeffrey for permission to use their book as a basis for our first cooking and nutrition curriculum. High five! Its lessons focus on flatbreads and their local accompaniments from cultures east to west, north to south. These flatbreads, which can be prepared on a stovetop, include Vietnam's rice paper wraps, chapati and dal fry from India and Nepal, from Scandinavia, lefse, Chinese Sichuan coiled and flavored bread with peanut sauce, Mediterranean tomato bread traditions, and Greek dakos, Eastern Mediterranean pita bread, Mexican corn tortillas. The common denominators are flatbread, local ingredients, and easy preparation. The differences are the type of grain used and how the flatbread is prepared, and the local foods and ingredients that complete the dish. It's also important to recognize that there is more than the foods and method of preparation that make cultural models for healthy eating, heritage diets, more similar than different. lifestyle as part of healthy eating. Lifestyle attributes such as physical activity and movement, eating regularly with family and friends, cooking together, gardening, dancing, sports and celebrations around food are key ingredients of healthy lifestyles and traditional diets around the world. Cell phones, television, and computer screens don't have seats at the dinner table. Rather, it's a time to enjoy family and friends and learn from one another. Movement of any kind, whether it's running, playing soccer, walking, or dancing, is an equal partner to healthy eating. The importance of tradition. Finally, religious, cultural, and historic traditions and habits play a role in cultural models for healthy eating around the world. Traditions may be different in Korea from those in Venezuela, Senegal, or France. Nevertheless, these traditions and habits influence what and how we eat. Religious traditions influence how, when, and if meat is consumed. Religious traditions and holidays dictate what is eaten and when. Italians eat pasta as a small course differently than Americans, a larger main dish. Cooking with extra virgin olive oil is a tradition in the Mediterranean, while Asian cooking and African heritage dishes require different and lower amounts of healthy fats. Cheese is more prominent in cooking and eating in Europe and Latin America than it is in Asia or Africa. It's the agriculture, the religious, and cultural traditions that have defined these differences. How to eat well by incorporating these patterns into your diet. Use heritage diets as a model for daily cooking, eating, and dining out. Old Ways founder Kay Dunn Gifford used to say, "Eat like a Mediterranean two meals a week. Eat as they might in Asia two meals a week. Eat Latin American style two meals a week, and the same for African heritage foods." Visualizing these different heritage diets helps to make your menus more interesting, delicious, and healthy. Focus on eating more plant foods and pairing them with local ingredients and spices from around the world. Add dishes like porridge, rice and beans, and flatbreads to your weekly rotation of dishes and meals, and vary the cultural flavors each week. They're all great comfort foods. Eat with family and friends without bringing your telephone, laptop, or tablet to the table. Eat with family and friends without bringing your telephone, laptop, or tablet to the table. Move, walk, run, dance, play sports. Making time for physical activity is key. What brings us together? At the end of the day, these differences and similarities also have the potential to bring us all together. As we work toward more understanding of others' cultures and traditions, food is a window to cultural diversity. Mark Bittman recently said in an interview, "To the extent we can preserve our culinary traditions and appreciate others' culinary traditions, we're going to eat better." At Old Ways, we agree with Bittman and think it's possible to go one step further. By honoring cultural differences in eating, the healthier, happier, and more connected we will be. An important step toward individual and collective cultural humility. From Food Network Magazine, I have a recipe for you. Chicken and corn chowder. 3 ears of shucked corn, 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 4 slices of bacon chopped, 1 large onion, 3/4 chopped and 1/4 thinly sliced lengthwise, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 1 1/4 pounds of Yukon gold potatoes chopped, 4 cloves of garlic, 3 cloves chopped and 1 sliced, 1/2 teaspoon of smoked paprika, 4 to 6 sprigs of thyme, 4 cups of low-sodium chicken broth, 1 1/2 cups of shredded rotisserie chicken, and 3/4 cup of heavy cream. cut the kernels off the corn and scrape the cobs with the back of a knife to remove the liquid. Melt 1 tablespoon of butter in a Dutch oven or other large pot over medium-high heat. Add the bacon and cook, stirring until crisp, 3 to 4 minutes. Remove to a paper towel-lined plate with a slotted spoon. Remove 2 tablespoons of the drippings and set aside. Reduce the heat under the pot to medium and add the remaining 1 tablespoon of butter, the chopped onion, corn, and liquid. Add a pinch each of salt and pepper. Cook, stirring until the onion is tender, 5 to 7 minutes. Add the potatoes and chopped garlic to the pot and season with the smoked paprika and thyme. Cook, stirring for 1 minute. Add the chicken broth and 1 teaspoon of salt. Cover and bring to a boil. Uncover and simmer until the potatoes are tender, 6 to 8 minutes. Smash some of the potatoes with a fork to thicken the soup. Stir in the chicken and heavy cream and cook until the chicken is warmed through, about 3 minutes. Heat the reserved bacon drippings in a small skillet over medium-high heat. Add the sliced onion and cook until browned, 3 minutes, adding the sliced garlic during the last 30 seconds. Remove with a slotted spoon to the plate with the bacon. Divide the soup among bowls, top with bacon, onion, and garlic. And this recipe serves 4. Now for something fun, grill some pasta. Mix up your grilling routine this summer and try something new like ravioli. Place a 10-inch cast iron skillet on the grill over medium-high heat. Add 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 1 chopped onion and saute about 5 minutes. Season with salt and pepper. Add 2 sliced garlic cloves and cook 1 minute. Stir in 1 pound of refrigerated ravioli and 2 cups of water and shimmy the pan to settle the ravioli. Cover the grill and cook, stirring once or twice until the ravioli are tender and the liquid has reduced to a thin layer, 8 to 10 minutes. Remove from the heat and stir in 1/2 cup of pesto, topped with basil and parmesan. And I have another skillet recipe for you from Food Network magazine, skillet brownie. 1 stick of unsalted butter, plus more for the skillet, 1/2 cup granulated sugar, 1/3 cup packed light brown sugar, 2 large eggs, 1 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/3 cup unsweetened Dutch processed cocoa powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 cup of milk chocolate chips, 1/2 cup of cold heavy cream, and 1/3 cup of marshmallow cream. Preheat a grill to medium and prepare for indirect cooking. On a gas grill, turn off 1/2 the burners. On a charcoal grill, bank the coals to one side. Lightly butter the bottom and sides of a well-seasoned 10-inch cast iron skillet. Melt the butter in a metal bowl over indirect heat on the grill. Let cool slightly. Whisk in the granulated sugar, brown sugar, eggs, and vanilla until smooth. Add the flour, cocoa powder, salt, and baking powder, and whisk until well combined. Stir in the chocolate chips. Spread the batter in the skillet. Once the grill registers 325 to 350 degrees, set the skillet on the cooler side of the grill, in direct heat. Cover the grill and cook until the edges of the brownie are set and a toothpick inserted into the center comes out clean, 40 to 50 minutes. Remove from the grill and let the brownie cool in the skillet at least 20 minutes. Meanwhile, beat the heavy cream to soft peaks in a medium bowl with a mixer on medium-high speed. Add the marshmallow cream and continue beating to firm peaks. Serve the brownie with the whipped cream. To your health. Can raw foods make you happy? Maybe. A recent study published in Frontiers in Psychology found that feelings of well-being were highest among those who consumed around 5 servings of raw fruits and vegetables per day. Make a dip to serve with crudité. Puree 2 5-ounce packages of soft garlic and herb cheese in a food processor. Add 2 chopped Persian cucumbers, season with pepper, and pulse. Looking good? Get your vitamin C, then smile. Researchers from the University of Washington say that gum problems could be linked to a vitamin C deficiency. Just 1 cup of fresh strawberries has more than your daily requirement. So stock up. We love fish. Try whole grilled fish. Your heart will thank you. According to new research published in Mayo Clinic Proceedings, consuming an extra 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids every day could decrease the risk of heart attack by 9%. In season this month, mangoes. A basket of mangoes is considered a gesture of friendship in India, and it's a nod to good health, too. The fruit is full of vitamins and dietary fiber, plus powerful polyphenols. Sprinkle mango slices with chili lime seasoning for a cookout side. New on the shelf. Check out these just released food products. Snacking for good. The folks at Good Food Brands are curating mail order boxes with snacks from Black owned businesses. Order one or a subscription, and you'll be supporting multiple companies at the same time. August is a great time to start. It's National Black Business Month. And that website is goodfoodbrands.org. The sweetest makeup. The food-themed beauty products just keep coming. Chipotle and Peeps released limited edition makeup collections earlier this year, and now Hip Dot Makeup has partnered with Reese's to create eyeshadow palettes and lip balms inspired by peanut butter cups. That's hipdot.com. Chef-approved cat food. Bobby Flay's Maine Coon, Nacho, is taking after his dad and entering the food biz. The feline is the face behind Made by Nacho, a new line of wet and dry cat food and protein treats in flavors like duck liver, cage-free chicken, and sustainably caught salmon. You can get those at PetSmart and madebynacho.com. Supermarket arrivals. Saffron Road Sweet and Sour Chicken. This frozen stir-fry dish comes topped with a tasty pineapple ginger sauce. Tazo Refreshers. Mix this tea jus concentrate with seltzer or water. It's the perfect summer drink. And Ortego Street Taco Crockpot Seasoning Mixes. Make slow cooker barbacoa, carnitas, and tacos al pastor with the help of these spice blends. Inside the Food Network Test Kitchen. Make a no-cook tomato sauce. When tomatoes are at their peak, you don't need much more than olive oil and salt to turn them into a sauce. Cook fish like a pro. Skin on fish fillets tend to curl up when you start cooking them, but recipe developer Richmond Flores solved the problem. Score the skin a few times with a paring knife and apply a little pressure to the fillet with a spatula as it cooks. The fish will stay flat and cook evenly. Get stale bread stat. The key to great panzania is it soaks up dressing without getting soggy. But Test Kitchen director Steve Jackson says fresh bread will work too. Just cut it into small pieces and bake at 300 degrees until it's dry but not browned, 15 to 20 minutes. Char your peppers. We love cooking peppers on the grill, but you can get that smoky, charred flavor with a gas burner too. Place a pepper directly over a medium-high flame, turning with tongs until it blisters and blackens in spots. To remove the skin, put the pepper in a bowl, cover, and let it steam for a few minutes. The skin will rub right off. Grilled flatbread with summer squash. Half red onion, very thinly sliced. Juice of half a lemon. Kosher salt. 1 pound of pizza dough, thawed if frozen. All-purpose flour for dusting. 2 large or 3 medium zucchini and or yellow squash, sliced about 1/4 inch thick on an angle. 5 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. 1/4 teaspoon of red pepper flakes. 2 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon of za'atar. 1.5 cups of shredded low-moisture mozzarella cheese. 1/2 cup crumbled feta cheese. 1 cup of fresh cilantro. Preheat a grill to medium. Combine the red onion, lemon juice, and a big pinch of salt in a medium bowl. Toss well. Cut the pizza dough into 4 pieces. On a lightly floured surface, press 1 piece of dough with your fingertips to make a 4 to 5 inch round, then roll out into an 8 inch round. Repeat with the remaining dough. Combine the zucchini and or yellow squash, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3/4 teaspoon salt, and the red pepper flakes in a large bowl. Toss well to coat. Grill until well marked and tender, 2 to 3 minutes per side. Remove to a plate. Combine 2 tablespoons of za'atar, a pinch of salt, and the remaining 3 tablespoons of olive oil in a small bowl. Grill the dough rounds until marked on the bottom and starting to bubble up in spots, about 3 minutes. Flip the dough, brush with the za'atar oil, and top with the mozzarella and zucchini and or squash. Cook until the dough is marked on the bottom and the mozzarella melts, about 3 minutes. Remove each flatbread to a plate, scatter the feta and red onion on top, and sprinkle with the remaining 1 teaspoon of za'atar, a pinch of salt, and the cilantro. This recipe serves 4. Per serving, there are 640 calories, 35 grams of fat, 11 of those are saturated, 50 milligrams of cholesterol, 1,968 milligrams of sodium, 59 grams of carbohydrates, 4 grams of fiber, 5 grams of sugar, and 20 grams of protein. Finally, turn broccoli into pasta sauce. We'd never advocate for mushy broccoli unless we're making broccoli sauce. Recipe tester Jessica D'Ambrosio broiled the florets until they were super tender and almost falling apart. You should be able to mash them with a fork. Once you toss the mashed broccoli with hot pasta and cooking water, it gets nice and saucy. We've run out of time today for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.